Let's bring on Kurt Whipple. Kurt, you with us?
I am. Thank you, gentlemen. Glad to be with you today.
Kurt, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you on. You're on with Dick Ringold.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Kurt. I'd like to just let everyone know that I thought that it might be interesting if we had a highly credentialed, certified wealth strategist from another area of the country to tell us what they're doing with their clients and what they think some of the problems are in retirement. And the reason why I picked Kurt is we both have the Certified Wealth Strategist credential, which is very high credential. It's similar to the Certified Financial Planner, except I think they do a little better job training you for the investments. So good morning, Kurt. You ready to get started?
I am excited to be here.
Yeah, let's just take a second before we do. And Kurt is a published author. Tell us a little bit about your book there, Kurt.
Sure, Dick. It's called Retiree Lifeline, and the reason that I wrote it, it's my second book, and I wrote it because I especially back in 2008, I saw so many people who were mature adults, either nearing retirement or in retirement, whose lives were altered financially by the 2008 crash, and I just wanted to make sure and put a book out there that I thought would help them better plan their retirement future, so future market conditions wouldn't necessarily be able to steal away what they've worked 40 years to build.
Well, I'm sure you're experiencing the same thing in your practice that I am. Probably almost everybody I talk to, that thought is buried in their mind, and it's not all that deep either. They got some pain there, and I think that the discussion we're going to have here might shed some light on that. Ian, take it away.
Yeah, Kurt, I just wanted to give you the opportunity. Let us know how we would get your book.
Oh, sure. Thanks so much. What I'd like to do is, I mean, there's two ways they can do it. They can go to Amazon.com. It is a hardcover book, so it retails for about $16.95. But being on the show today, I thought I'd just give a special offer and allow anybody to get it for free as long as they're willing to pay the shipping of $4.95. So they can do that by going to a website called RetireeLifeline.com. And for $4.95 shipping, they can get the book sent out to them.
Kurt, that's great. I think I'd like 1,000 copies.
I'll take one.
Sold.
All right, let's get started here and quit playing around. Ian, I think you're up.
Yeah, let's see here. We've got, okay, what if your portfolio was to lose more than 20% of its total like we were talking about in 2008?
Well, that to me, Ian, says that somebody is not properly diversified in their investment portfolio. And I think Dick and I are kind of kindred spirits in this regard. What I find is when people come in, we use a color system called red, blue, green. And red money is anything tied to stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or variable annuities. And these are all things that can lose value. Many times people think that bonds are their greatest safe haven, but with interest rates being so low, it's a great concern of mine that as interest rates go up, people could see that the safe haven of the last 20 years isn't so safe anymore. And so if when people come in, what I normally see is they could have 80, 85, I've even seen up to 98% of their portfolio tied to what I call red money, which is Wall Street driven. And they say, well, my broker told me I was well diversified. And I go, well, you are, but you're diversified in Wall Street. And they don't understand that then when, you know, a rising tide raises all ships and a sinking tide sinks all ships, and if too much is tied to that one body of water, you're going to go with whatever the water dictates. So proper diversification, a person shouldn't have lost more than about 20% of their portfolio instead of losing 37 to 40% as the market did. So it cuts down their losses quite a bit.
Kurt, in a nutshell, how would you take a traditional 60-40 portfolio, 60% equity, 40% traditional bonds? What are some of the things that you would do to revise that?
Well, as a bond replacement right now, I'm a big fan of fixed indexed annuities. You know, it's a lot of people out there unfortunately represent these to their clients in an inopportune or inappropriate way. But when used properly, they can be a significant part of a client's portfolio. I see these accounts averaging somewhere in the 3 to 6% range per year. which certainly beats a bank. They have downside protection and some company guarantees, so therefore the client doesn't have to worry about losing the value of their portfolio. And I call that green money. And green money would be anything that has some form of guarantee. It'd be a bank account. It could be treasury notes or bonds. It could be fixed interest or fixed indexed annuities. And if they have a percentage of their money in there and they can average at 3 to 6% a year, that should help offset the need for the bond, and it should certainly take away the 0.5% or less that they're getting in the banks nowadays. And so I would start looking at that as a bond replacement. The second thing would be alternative investments. I'm a fan of looking at things that are possibly either uncorrelated to Wall Street and or they pay a very nice steady dividend without being tied to bonds. Examples of that uncorrelated would be gold and silver. Another example would be some real estate investment trusts, some equipment leasing programs, or certainly one of the most popular things I'm seeing nowadays is called BDCs, or business development companies, which really the client kind of becomes the bank. It's not tied to real estate. It's just a matter of loaning money out and getting a good return on your money. And on those accounts, right now we're seeing anywhere from 6 to 8% pretty steady returns coming from those. And that would be blue money, or kind of in the middle of the road between red money and green money, Wall Street and safe money.
Okay. One of the things we want to talk about next is what if your only investment that you have at this point is in Wall Street? What would you recommend somebody do there?
Well, the first thing they have to do is they have to identify, I believe, what rate of return do you need to be able to be set for life financially, especially if you're a retiree. You want to identify, okay, here's my portfolio. Maybe it's $500,000, maybe it's $1 million. What rate of return do I need on this to, you know, that when I bring in Social Security, a pension, if I'm lucky enough to have one, and whatever income I need for my investments, that I'm going to be set for life if I can get this rate of return. Now, for some people, that rate of return I see comes in at 2 or 3%, and yet they might be 85% Wall Street. So then I would start talking about the safer investments, the green money, and maybe alternative investments, the blue money, and then lower that red money exposure down to somewhere in the realm of maybe 20 to 30% instead of having 80 or 90%. On the contrary, if somebody turns around and they need 8% to be set for life, number one, I coach them that maybe they need too much income. I wouldn't be comfortable suggesting that as an average, but if they did, then I would say, okay, we need more Wall Street investments and fewer of the safe money and the alternative investments. And so it's a balancing act, Ian, depending on what their needs are and the rate of return they need on their portfolio.
Okay, and you know, we get a lot of people out here, they get a financial advisor and they just don't hear from them. They don't hear from them on any kind of regular basis or when they agreed to meet with them or whatever. What do you say to someone who's having that problem?
I think what they should do is sit down with their advisor and basically come to an agreement as to how often they feel they should be communicating with their advisor. We have some clients here that pretty much all of our clients, it's at least semi-annually, but we have many clients that it's on a quarterly basis. And then once they come to that agreement, they should be able to depend on their advisor to be proactive in communicating and contacting them in the period of time they just agreed upon. I find it's amazing when you have those regular times set up to communicate with your advisor, how many times something might come up where the advisor might look at your portfolio and go, oh, you know what, I just had another idea pop into my head that might improve your situation. Or the client might call up and say, hey, something's changed in my life, and now that's going to impact their portfolio. And it's kind of like, how should I say this, maybe it's a bad thing to consider, but a disease. If there's an issue with a portfolio, the sooner you catch it, the better chance you have of repairing it and healing it. If it goes an entire year or 2 years and you haven't talked to your advisor and there's a problem in your portfolio, well, now you're compounding that problem and it's much more difficult to be able to correct it.